Chapter 1. Jacob Marley. Jacob Marley was dead. He was definitely dead. The priest and the man who had prepared the body, the church clerk and Scrooge had all signed the official document to say he was dead. Scrooge's name was worth a lot on a document. The men who worked in the businesses and banks of the City of London respected that name. Did Scrooge know for sure that he was dead? Of course he did. How could he not know? Ebenezer Scrooge and Jacob Marley had been business partners for many years. He organized everything after Marley died, and Scrooge was the only person who went to the church when he was buried. But even Scrooge was not upset by the death of his friend, and carried on working after he got back from church. So, we can be absolutely sure that Marley was dead. This fact must be understood, or nothing wonderful will come from this story I'm going to tell you. Years passed, but Scrooge did not take Marley's name from his office door. People called him Scrooge or Marley, but he didn't correct them. He answered to both names. People borrowed money from Scrooge, but he always got every bit back, and more. They paid him extra so that they could borrow money from him. He was as hard as a stone, as sharp as a knife. He didn't care if it was hard for people to pay him back. He loved money, so much that he never let go of it. His hair and eyebrows were white like ice. The cold within him froze his old nose, took the life out of his cheeks, turned his legs to wood, made his eyes red and his thin lips blue, and it spoke in his high, cold voice. He carried his own low temperature around with him. During the hottest days of summer, his office was icy. Nobody stopped him in the street with a smile to say, "My dear Scrooge, how are you?" No homeless man or woman ever asked him for money. No children asked him what the time was. No one asked for directions. Even the dogs of blind men took their owners out of Scrooge's path. Scrooge didn't care. He liked to be alone. Once upon a time, then, on that good day of the year, Christmas Eve, Scrooge sat in his office adding up money in a large book. It was cold and foggy. Although it was only 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it was already dark. The door of Scrooge's room was open so that he could keep an eye on his clerk, who sat in a tiny little room copying letters. Scrooge had a very small fire, but his clerk's fire was even smaller. Every time the clerk wanted to make his fire bigger, Scrooge said he thought he would look for another clerk. So, the clerk put on his long white scarf and tried to warm himself by his candle. But he didn't have much imagination, and he stayed as cold as before. "A Merry Christmas, Uncle! God bless you!" said a happy voice. It was Scrooge's nephew.
"There!" said Scrooge. "Humbug!"
Scrooge's nephew had walked so fast through the fog and freezing air that his handsome face was red and warm.
"Christmas a humbug, Uncle?" said Scrooge's nephew. "You don't mean that?"
"I do," said Scrooge. "Merry Christmas. What reason do you have to be merry? You're poor enough."
"Come then," his nephew answered happily. "What reason do you have to be so cross? You're rich enough."
"Of course I am cross, when I live in a world filled with fools. What is Christmas but a time for paying bills without money, a time for finding yourself a year older and not an hour richer? If I had my way, I would boil every fool who says Merry Christmas with his own Christmas pudding, and I would bury him with a branch of holly through his heart."
"Uncle, but Christmas is a time when people are kind. We forgive each other, we help those who have less than us, and we enjoy ourselves. It's the only time in the whole year when men and women open their closed hearts to those around them. And so, while Christmas has never put any money in my pocket, it has done me good, and will do me good."
The clerk stood up and clapped when he heard these words. Then he remembered this was not a good thing to do in front of Scrooge.
"If I hear another sound from you," said Scrooge, "you will celebrate Christmas by losing your job."
Then he turned to his nephew.
"You are quite a powerful speaker, sir. I'm surprised you don't become a politician."
Don't be cross, Uncle. Will you have dinner with us tomorrow?
Scrooge said something very rude at that.
But why, Uncle? I want nothing from you. I ask nothing of you. Why can't we be friends?
Good afternoon,
Scrooge said, to tell his nephew the conversation was finished.
I am sorry with all my heart to find you so difficult, but I won't let you make me unhappy, so a Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Good afternoon, said Scrooge.
And a Happy New Year.
Good afternoon, said Scrooge.
His nephew left the room without an angry word, but before the clerk could close the door, two large and pleasant gentlemen came in.
Do we have the pleasure of speaking with Mr. Marley or Mr. Scrooge?
One of them asked with a smile.
Mr. Marley has been dead these 7 years,
Scrooge replied.
He died exactly 7 years ago tonight.
This is the time of year when we think about people who have less than us,
the man continued, not worried by Scrooge's face.
Are there no prisons for them to go to?
Interrupted Scrooge.
And the poorhouses, do they still exist?
Unfortunately, these bad places still exist, the man said sadly.
I'm very glad to hear it, said Scrooge. I shall give you nothing. Now, gentlemen, I wish to be left alone. I don't celebrate Christmas and I don't have enough money to make lazy people merry.
But the poorhouses are terrible, said the first man. People would rather die than end their lives there.
If they would rather die, why don't they? And they should die quickly. Then we wouldn't have so many people to feed. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
After they had gone, there was the sound of singing from the street. A boy was singing a Christmas carol outside the door. Scrooge took a book from his desk and threw it at the door, and the singing immediately stopped. The boy was singing for money, and Scrooge certainly didn't want to give him any. When the end of the day arrived, Scrooge stood up.
I suppose you will want all of tomorrow off,
Scrooge asked.
If that will not be a problem for you, sir.
Of course it's a problem, said Scrooge. And it's not fair. I have to pay you for a day when you're not working.
The clerk said that it was only once a year.
But you're still taking money from my pocket. Be here extra early the next day.
The clerk ran out into the streets and played in the snow with some children before running home to Camden Town to his young family. Scrooge went to the small restaurant where every night he ate his dinner. He read the papers and then walked home. When he arrived at his front door, he saw something strange. The door seemed to have a face on it, which looked like his old partner Marley, a strange, dead face. Scrooge shook his head, and the face disappeared. Scrooge was not easily frightened, but when he went inside, he checked behind the door. There was no one. He checked everywhere, but there was no one in the house. Most of the rooms were used as offices, and they were shut now. Scrooge went up the stairs to his rooms. He closed the door and locked it twice, which he never did normally. Scrooge sat close to a small fire which had pictures round it to make it pretty. Scrooge thought he saw Marley's face in these pictures, but when he looked again, there was nothing strange about them.
Humbug,
he said. But then his eyes were attracted to a large bell that hung on the wall. He watched with growing fear as the bell began to move, softly at first, and then more and more until it began to ring. Soon all the bells in the house were ringing. This might have lasted for half a minute or a minute, but it seemed like an hour. Then, as suddenly as they had started, the bells stopped ringing. Then from the bottom of the house he heard the noise of metal, like a chain pulled along the floor. The noise moved across the hall and up the stairs, getting closer and closer.
It's humbug, said Scrooge. I won't believe it.
His colour changed, though, when it came through the locked door and into the room. The same face, the very same. Marley with his hair tied back, Marley's shirt and coat. He was pulling a chain that was wrapped around his middle. The chain was made, Scrooge looked at it closely, of money boxes, keys, locks, and metal purses. Scrooge still did not believe what he saw. Although the ghost stood before him, although he felt its death-cold eyes and saw the cloth wrapped round its head, he still did not believe his eyes.
"What do you want with me?"
asked Scrooge, cold and angry.
"Who are you?"
"Ask me who I was," the ghost said.
"Who were you then?"
"In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley."